Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Tonight is Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2022. Yes, 222022, Tuesday, March. And this is What's Happening with Ralph Pointer. And once again, here's what's really happening. I'm sure you'll agree, it's time to cancel these minstrel shows. The one before Congress by Vladimir Zelensky. And it's time to cancel the minstrel show before the people of New York City by Eric Adams. Because we are making it clear, no to wars both abroad and at home. No to the war of the army of occupation known as police in our schools, and no to the army of occupation known as NATO everywhere. Because this program is an anatomy of oppression, and we know who our oppressors are. We know we are the victims of imperialism and colonialism. We know that unless we can understand and analyze critically, American capitalist system, the American capitalist system, we are doomed to say wage slaves, race slaves, gender slaves, economic slaves all our lives. And that will be passed on to the next generation as well. So without further ado, what's really happening? Ralph Pointer?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. And here we are once again. And Sister Betty has said it all, and I'm not going to repeat it as usual. What's really happening? Now, you have heard time and time again that capitalism is falling. Well, maybe it is, but what does that mean? What's happening? This cancer we call American capitalism is getting weaker. And what do I mean when I say weaker? Well, the answer is every day the dollar you have buys less materials, less in health, less in every way than it bought the previous day, than it bought the previous week. The American people are being put in a squeeze. Now, to date, they haven't screamed yet because we know who's on the bottom, who is squeezed the most, and who is squeezed first. That is the people of color. Now, what this program is about putting a Band-Aid on the cancer that is American capitalism. Now, somebody will say that's not going to cure it. Nope, that does not cure it. But when the cancer gets to the point where you put a Band-Aid on because you're bleeding someplace, or you go to the hospital and they cut you up and stitch you up a little, these are Band-Aids that do not cure the cancer. Now, what Band-Aids do we use? What Band-Aids do I use? Well, personally, I confess, I watch women's college basketball. And somebody say, well, why do you do that? And I say, well, it started many years ago. One Saturday morning, when going out to see my 17-year-old granddaughter play softball, and I turned a corner on a 96th Street on the FDR Drive and went over to First Avenue, and right there is a large tennis court. And on the way to this tennis court was a young black man. He looked to be late 20s, early 30s. And his son, who looked to be about 8 or 9, was following behind him. He was wearing sneakers, and he had a pair of sneakers over his shoulder. And right behind him was a little girl who looked to be about 6 or 7. She was wearing sneakers, and she had her playing sneakers over her shoulder. And I says, the important thing about that is, what is in the father's mind? And what was obviously in his mind was his daughter was important, as important in sports as his son. That's a step forward. And those of us who look at it and marvel in it, this is our Band-Aid. And I said to Lynn Stewart, who happened to be with me at the time, I says, you know, I feel this is Jackie Robinson all over again. Another group of people are being freed. Title IX, that means that another law that will be violated, that is being violated every day. That means that they have to spend as much money on women's sports as they do on men's sports. And they make a stab at that. But what I'm not here to talk about Band-Aids, because there are many. And I look at, turn on the television, and we see now it's Black History Month, and they're going to give out awards to black movie stars, et cetera. And I see the happy faces. That's not going to cure cancer. But maybe it's a Band-Aid. But if the Band-Aid is applied knowing that you just want to stop the bleeding so that you can fight the fight for liberation, then it's a good Band-Aid. if the Band-Aid of basketball, Hollywood, this nonsense, without looking to the future of what to do with it, then it's a waste of time. It's a opioid of the mind. It makes us feel opioid of emotions. Makes us feel better. And if we're not looking to feel better to get out and fight tomorrow for liberation, it doesn't matter how you feel, because the man is in control. And we hope on this program of activists, to bring you issues and solutions that people are working on. As Sister Betty said, the minstrel show. Well, in that minstrel show, there is a lot of education. And that minstrel show, the joint meeting of Congress, they stood and cheered. And that reminded me, and I've said it before on this program, of LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, when he went before the joint session of Congress and said, if the Vietnamese don't come to the table, we will bomb them into the Stone Age. And they tried to do it. They dropped more bombs, more poison, more everything on Vietnam than they did total World War II. And World War I. But the Vietnamese stood solid. Now, what were they standing solid for? It was not to invade California. And so far, they won. And if you say, was there an invasion of California? I say, well, maybe there was an invasion of New York, because I see more Vietnamese restaurants here. But that's as close as it gets to an invasion by the Vietnamese. But the price they have paid and are paying for this war on their essence. This was more than just war. This was a war that destroyed everything. But the interesting thing is, the reason why I'm talking about Vietnam, that America has the nerve to talk about what's happening in the Ukraine. The bad Russians are shooting bombs and destroying neighborhoods. The Russians haven't or could not do the destruction that America has done. But you see the hypocrisy, but more important than the hypocrisy and the lies of the leaders is, as our dear Sister Betty tells us, metaphysical imperialism. A lie is just a lie. But if you believe it, it's metaphysical imperialism. And I see the Americans coming together. We're going to send money to help the Ukrainians. Oh, it's terrible what the Russians did. They forgot all about what America has done. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting the sign here, but I'm going to take a minute or two more. What did America do to Korea, North Korea? They bombed it so much there was nothing to bomb, so they just dropped some bombs anyway. And they're mad at the Koreans because they're intransigent. They say, never again, never will we be unprepared for anyone to attack us in that manner. But we have the American population, metaphysical imperialism again. They believe this nonsense of the good Americans. And they're putting their dollars where their mouth is. Biden sending money to Ukraine, but the pinch is coming because there's not enough money for the fourth injection. And I say COVID isn't finished with us, yes. And so the pinch comes in. People are going to have to say, wait a minute. You go to the pump. If it's in California, it's $6.40. In New York, it's $4.30, whatever. And if you got to go to work every day, you're going to have to say, wait a minute. What's happening here? And we see Ukrainians coming in, and they're setting up hospitals, et cetera, giving them their... what would you call it, their Social Security that they didn't earn here. They're putting the money there. And yet we have Americans that are not getting it. As I say, let's put a few dollars in the Mississippi Delta. Let's put a few dollars in Jackson, Mississippi. Let's put a few dollars on the border for people whose countries have been raped by the countries of NATO. They're taking it to Europe and bring it to the United States, and we're not giving them much of anything. And now they're going to take back what little Band-Aid that they gave the immigrants who came, and they promised them maybe they would get some type of status in America. They've taken that back. And it goes on and on. But the point we're making here is every time they do one of these outrageous things, it's an opportunity for people to learn what is real, and perhaps when we learn what is real, we will learn to fight for that liberation that we all talk about, that freedom to live a decent life. Well, I've taken up more than enough of time, and we're going to go to our resident poet, Professor Louis, who helps us become educated while we're being entertained. Professor Louis, your microphone is open, and I want everybody on this blog to start thinking about the questions, the real questions, and the answers. Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear.
Okay. How right are we? And how right do we want to be? Do we buy clothes made by giant multinational corporations, Gap, Banana Republic, Old Navy, who move thousands of miles away to get men, women, and kids to work in horrific conditions, pay them starvation wages, and charge us a freaking fortune for one crummy mass-produced cheap polyester shirt that costs maybe a buck and a half to make? Do we buy it? Do we get gas for car, home, apartment from humongous companies that overheat the climate, destroy the environment, poison the air and water, rip off their workers, and rip us off with the price they charge for the gas? What's going on? Do we pay tax to a government that spends trillions of dollars on bombs and guns, kills millions of people around the world with our money, and has no money left to do something for homeless, sick, ragged, broke people sleeping on the sidewalk and panhandling us for the money? What's up with that? Are we attaining Buddha or yoga peace of mind? There's nothing wrong with that. While the world around us fills with racist hatreds and killings based on view of God or color of the skin? Namaste. Do we spend hard-earned money on brand newly invented electronic gadgets that our parents, grandparents, and millions of people live very well without having for thousands of years? Where'd that come from? Do we buy water in plastic bottles that poison the oceans when New York City tap water is tested more careful than all the supposed fresh mountain spring bullshit crap that the Coca-Cola company puts in the plastic bottle that on a hot day leaches a little indigestible poison freaking plastic into your water anyway? Are we suckers or what? Do we buy supermarket food from giant agricultural corporations that bankrupt small farmers, kill the earth with chemicals, steal billions of gallons of water, and genetically change the natural world with not one lousy thought of the children who will come after us, plus selling us overprocessed, overpackaged, oversweetened dead food that has totally lost its basic nutritional value? Do we eat it? Do we keep money in a bank that puts our money into sweatshops in Bangladesh, diamond mines in Africa, lumber companies cutting down the rainforest in Brazil, making 20, 50, sometimes 100% profit, and giving us one-half of 1% interest on our investment in them, plus charging you $2 when you use this stupid freaking ATM? How'd that happen? And what do we do to make money? Are we doing a useful job in this world? Who do we work for? Are they doing something useful with our work? So how right do we want to be? It's up to you. Don't ask me. No one's perfect, including the poet. But we also don't want to be too big of a schmuck either. We definitely do not want to be too much of a sucker out here. So how right do we want to be? It's up to you. Don't ask me if we can't do it all. Maybe do what we can. And if not now, when?
Oh, thank you so much for that, Professor Louis, and that last statement, if not now, when? Well, let's go on. We have other guests who are going to talk about the Band-Aid that they have on our way to liberation. Sister Betty.
All right. Just remember when the ruling elite stage a circus, it's to distract you from the war at home. And so don't be distracted. And one of the wars at home is to protect our elder warriors in the prison death camps. And so we're opening up Jericho, New York City, Jericho, Mike, Sister Ann Lam. She had a very disturbing announcement about our dear brother, Ed Poindexter. And your mic is open.
Well, good evening. Always an honor to be with you here, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph. And Professor Louis's poem was fantastic. Well, it's not really, well, it's always been, Ed Poindexter has always been disturbing because he's been in prison for more than 50 years for a crime he didn't commit. So that in itself should be extremely disturbing. And a whole group of folk in Omaha who are affiliated, they're not necessarily part of Jericho, but we work together with, have been trying to get him out of there in one way or another. So now we have a bill that is a medical parole bill, right, that is up in Omaha now that people are trying to get passed. And that would be a great thing if it does happen because it could possibly free Ed. I got this actually from the National Lawyers Guild in Detroit, Michigan. So it's a bill called LB 980, and it would allow prisoners, including those with life sentences, to be released on medical parole. And they want people to write to the Judiciary Committee to support this bill. And I'm sure they would prefer it, of course, if you're from Nebraska, but we don't care. We'll do it anyway. Because, you know, Ed is an elder, obviously, having been in prison since 1971. He has dialysis 3 days a week. He has other medical issues. Once again, it's another one of our elders. So I will post this to jerichoonline.org so people will have the little action steps to take, because they did put together Nebraskans for Prison Reform, did a toolkit, so they have the email addresses for everybody in the Judiciary Committee. So you don't have to work too hard, right? You click on the link, get everybody's email addresses, and they have a link also to the bill itself so you can see what it says. And then, you know, we're trying to get the bill out of committee and discussed on the floor. So letters, of course, would be very helpful. This is not directly about Ed himself, but, you know, he is in that class of prisoners. So it would definitely apply to him if it does get passed. And we certainly hope that it will. Also have some news about our dear comrade, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. As people may know, Dr. Shakur has been turned down for compassionate release three times, despite having stage 3 bone marrow cancer and being in constant pain. He, of course, has been denied parole various times, as people I'm sure are aware. We do have a campaign to Biden demanding clemency. So I would encourage people, go to jerichoonline.org, sign that petition if you haven't done so already. Howsomever, he did recently have a small victory. He had a habeas corpus petition going in California, where he used to be imprisoned in Victorville for many years, regarding his last parole denial, where the parole commission brought up the fact that a professor had him on a phone call speaking to her class, and they decided that this was some kind of a violation of the law. And that's why they gave him the last hit at the board and also took away some of his good time. So, luckily for Dr. Mutula Shakur. The court ruled in his favor. He is now to have a mandatory, I repeat, mandatory parole hearing, which I have heard is coming up very soon, possibly in the next month or so. And they are not allowed, the parole commission is not allowed to use that excuse that they used last time to once again deny him parole. So that's a hopeful sign. Doesn't necessarily mean they will grant him parole, but at least their options are quite limited at this point. And also, Dr. Shakur, because his immune system is very compromised due to the treatment or minimal treatment he was receiving for the bone marrow cancer, has also had COVID 3 times.
Oh.
And this is, he's a brother, he's an elder, you know, he's not well. So, you know, serious, serious stuff, folks. So as soon as I have more information about when this parole hearing will be, I will let people know. We currently don't have an exact date, but that was good news that they cannot, you know, use that kind of an excuse to once again deny him parole. Meanwhile,
okay.
Moving on.
I have to interrupt and get back to you. And we must always remember what our dear sister Lynn Stewart taught us. The law is whatever they say it is at any given time. We cannot depend on the law anything. But we'll get back to you because we must do something. Sister Betty.
All right, Sister Ann, you've been posting information about the deaths, I believe, at Rikers that are escalating. And so when we come back, we'll hope you'll be able to give us just a little update. I know people have been protesting. So if you don't mind, we'll try and get back to you after the next speaker or so. I hate to extend your night. Would appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, without further ado, we see that Sister Dolores is in the house, and we're hoping that some people will be calling in from the South. There's been some serious, serious stuff going on in the southern part of this country. Once again, when they put on a big show abroad, that's when you better start looking closer to home to see what their real agenda is. Sister Dolores, welcome back. Your mic is open. Brother Henry, hang in there.
Thank you, Betty. You know, with this 24-hour all-day coverage of the Ukraine-Russia war, it just continues. You know, it's a disgrace. But there's never any mention of the decades-long Israeli destruction of Palestine, the destruction of their homes, their schools, their mosques, their hospitals, their olive groves, etc., and the killing of thousands of Palestinians. And I noticed last week on Democracy Now! They reported more killings of Palestinian people. So anyway, last time I talked about learning years ago about by reading a magazine in my local precinct while I was waiting to file a complaint there. There was a magazine called New York Blue Now, and on the cover and inside was a lengthy article with the heading Long Distant War on Terror, NYPD Opens Precinct in Israel. And the NYPD precinct was located in a police compound there, not in the United States, which has an embassy in Tel Aviv. It turned out that the NYPD had a international counterterrorism team led by Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly. Well, last week, the Guardian newspaper published a long article on the U.S. police delegation to Israel. And so Jewish Voices for Peace for Palestinian might join Black Lives Matter and several Arab groups calling for the dropping of the Anti-Defamation League's support for the police exchange program. And tonight there was a rally, an Anti-Defamation League rally, headquarters, at the Anti-Defamation headquarters to celebrate a stoppage of the police exchange program. So hopefully we'll get more news, maybe from The Guardian or some other you know, outlet letting us know more about the end of the police exchange program, if it has really ended. The other thing I want to mention is the Crown Act. You know, the Crown Act bill will, if passed, ban race-based discrimination against black hairstyles. Right now, only a handful of states prohibit this discrimination. Last week, the Crown Act federal bill, H.R. 2116, passed in Congress's House of Representatives. The bill prohibits discrimination in the workplace, schools, pools, etc., against black hair. Now it's up to the Senate Republicans to pass the bill, which needs 10 of them at least to support it in order to overcome a filibuster. And it reminds me of maybe about 15 years ago, my mom and I were in a black beauty parlor, and a woman came in there, black woman came in there frantically asking if they could take her right away. The beauty parlor was located downtown Manhattan on Fulton Street near Broadway. And her hair looked so nice and neat, as though she had just recently had it braided. She said that she was on her lunch hour, and her boss said to her that if you didn't do something with that hair, quote unquote, don't bother coming back to work. Okay. So, you know, it's just that I couldn't believe it. And then that there would be a boss that would have this kind of antagonism against black hairstyles. But anyway, it's this bill, this Crown Act federal bill, hopefully will pass in the Republican Senate, and we'll see what happens. And have you noticed that the black woman Supreme Court judge nominee wears her hair in locks? Okay, that's what I wanted to say tonight.
Yes, that's another Band-Aid that takes our mind off of what's real. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? But yes, I can, because years ago, I remember when Afros were no-no. And so nothing new. They play games with us because we keep going along thinking we are citizens of this country, and we are not. We see, watch them steal from us constantly. I noticed that they've taken money. The states have taken federal money that was meant for the schools for people of color and given it to white schools. They've been doing it for years. They're still stealing from us. And we talk about being Americans. And we see Biden today talks about the new world order. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm worried about the old world order, where Europeans have leached off of the third world forever, and we still think, although we're a part of the third world, that we are American citizens, and we do not look forward to developing an economy of our own. And in future broadcasts, we're going to have solutions along that line. More Tulsas and what to do to keep them. Sister Betty.
Okay, we have a special guest for a special announcement. Tonight we want to welcome Sister Comrade Henna Zaberi. She's the Director of Justice for All. She's also the editor for the Muslim newspaper, Muslim Matters. And she's here to tell us about a special webinar that will be held on the 20th. And we want to welcome her. Sister Henna, your mic is open. Please enlighten us.
Shalom, peace to everyone. Thank you so much for having me here. And we really, really look forward to all of you participating with us this Friday. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing. There's a coalition that has been formed to pass a congressional bill. This is H.R. 2998. And what we're trying to do is get expose the lies and open up all the records about COINTELPRO. As you all know much better than I do, how many people have been impacted, how many lives destroyed, how many political prisoners are still in prison today under the vicious policies of this government. So what we're trying to do is use this congressional bill that has been passed by Congressman Bobby Rush, that has been introduced by Congressman Bobby Rush, and use it as a vehicle to educate people. God knows what the bill will ever get passed, but we're going to be hopeful. And we believe with all the good work that the next generation has done with Black Lives Matter and all the protests that took place in over the past 2-3 years, that this will have reignited the will goes and open up all the records. So for that, this Friday, we are having a webinar, and it will be Sister Betty Davis right here will be our MC. And we are going to have young people talking about their current experiences with today's COINTELPRO, the Patriot Act, and being called this new slur, Black Identity Extremist. Then we'll have an art and cultural break with Lucy Murphy and Dr. Drum. After that, my great colleague, Hugh, and I will be guiding you all on what you all can do in how we can use this bill and really activate folks behind this call. We're hopefully going to be also joined in by Angela Davis, who is supporting this cause and this call, and someone from Bobby Rush's office. Hope we've invited Congressperson Bobby Rush. Hopefully he'll join us. Otherwise, one of his staffers will definitely be on board. We'll be talking about the coalition. We'll be praying together. We'll be really thinking about what all we can do to have some practical impact of all the protests that have taken place, and how to get some of our political prisoners freed. So we really hope all of you can join us. This is Expose the Lies webinar for the full disclosure of COINTELPRO. We're going to be educating, organizing, and act to this coming Friday at 7:30 EST, 6:30 CST, and 4:30 PST. You can you'd have to register. And there's a short bit.ly, it's a link. If you type in bit.ly/CIINTELPRO, COINTELPRO, so the C and the I and the P are capitalized, this will take you to a sign-up registration form. You put in your email and you can join us in this webinar. We really hope all of you can join us and share your thoughts and really activate our communities.
Well, thank you. Two things. I would like for you to repeat that again, how we get in, and basically what it's about is recognizing snitches. Remember Fred Hampton in Chicago. Remember Dr. Martin Luther King's photographer. Remember all of the snitches that have jeopardized the movement over and over again. And we must learn to recognize these people. Marcus Garvey, his secretary snitching. And it goes over and over and over again. And I imagine today, there are snitches alive and well in our movement. People get in the movement to slow it down, ask damn fool questions when we're trying to solve problems. We must learn how to recognize these things and the people who participate, those who are doing extremely well, who are part of our groups and show no signs of a job. Think about that. Sister Betty.
Okay, would you repeat that link? And you can email me. Sister Lucy has my email, and I will make sure it goes out on a listserv. Sister Ann Lam, who's with New York City Jericho and the Mandelas, Spirit of the Mandelas, she is also on this call, and she will also forward it. Her listserv goes out all over the place. So, Sister Hannah, if you would please give us that link information again.
Yes, thank you so much. So it's bit.ly, bit.ly/COINTELPRO. Just remember, bit.ly always is case sensitive. So the C, the I, and the P are capitalized. We try to get COINTELPRO lowercase or capitalized, but all of that was taken. So bit.ly, bit.ly COINTELPRO with the C and the I and the P capitalized.
All right. Now, what, again, do we want to come out of this webinar? Because we are people are webinaring all over the place. What do we want to come out of?
So that is a great question. What we want to do is get organized behind this bill. Let's get this passed. It's not a big ask. We're asking the J. Edgar Hoover Building to be renamed. That's a part of the bill. And the second call is to open up the files. And we're hoping with that, let's get in front of the blackers. Let's demand more of them. Our political prisoners that are suffering today still, Imam Jamil Amin, there are, the Black Panthers, there's just so many still suffering today. Let's get these hard asks. And, you know, I know we don't expect much from Congress, but in these days are different. There's so many more people who've joined the movement. There's a different feeling on the street. So hopefully we can use some of that energy to get this act passed and to free some of our political prisoners.
Well, thank you so much for that. Let us hope the times are different and that we can enlist more people in this struggle to do everything that we've been talking about. And first and foremost, that is to free our political prisoners and throw every person who claims to represent our community, to throw them out of office. We have to let them know that that is what we desire. And as long as we vote Democratic blindly, and I don't give a damn what it is, that you have a reason for voting Democratic or Republican. If you don't have a demand, and that demand is free our political prisoners, you are whistling Dixie. In 2022, not just any Democrat will do. We deserve representation in Congress that fights for our safety, our financial security, and our future. It's time to elect an unbought Congress. I thank you for that, young lady.
Okay, where are you calling from, please, if you don't mind saying? What state?
I'm in D.C. I live actually in Maryland, but mm-hmm. I work in D.C.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. Anytime you have an announcement, please feel free to call in. Anytime you have an issue, please feel free to call in. It's one struggle. It's one fight. And as the Black is Back Coalition says, vanguard up. We got to step up to the plate. And I want you to know you're in good company tonight. Just about everybody on this call has forwarded the template flyer that was sent to me, especially Sister Ann, and she has sent it out all over the place. So, again, I thank you for following up with this information for our listeners. We're streamed all over Pacifica, public access free radio, as well as Blog Talk Radio. So thank you for getting on. Much appreciated.
Thank you all. We
love
it. And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care, sister. All right. We want to continue right along because we have a lot of folks on the call tonight, and we don't want to miss out on anyone. Okay, Brother Henry, it's always good to hear from you. Your mic is open.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello, we're there, Brother Henry Higgins.
All right, thanks. I just want to share with the group, and good evening, everyone, an excerpt from UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition Statement on Ukraine, and it was issued the 19th of March. The United National Anti-War Coalition, or UNAC, remains steadfast in its opposition to the United States' NATO imperialist project. The people of Ukraine are now suffering in a war zone because the actions of the United States, beginning with the 2014 coup, which violently ousted an elected president. The goal then, as now, was to use Ukraine as a weapon to target Russia militarily. We point that We point out that the current conflict is not the first for Ukraine. More than 14,000 people living in the eastern Donbass region have died in an eight-year-long war because they refused to accept the coup government imposed by the United States. The result was a continuation of bloodshed and the strengthening of right-wing and neo-Nazi forces. Ukraine is now a haven for white supremacist groups and has invited mercenaries from across Europe, the United States, and other nations. The use of the right wing is by design and is yet another means of maintaining a dangerous status quo. It is both naive and dangerous to deny the existence of these far-right forces and to ignore the hold they have on Ukrainian politics. They will not only unleash violence in Ukraine, but they will inevitably bring racist violence back to their home countries. What am I doing here? The result was a continuation of bloodshed and the strengthening of right-wing neo-Nazis' home countries. The Biden administration sends weapons and prolongs the conflict. The U.S. further enriches the military-industrial complex. I'm losing my space here. All right.
Yes.
Anyway, I won't belabor it. I just want to call people's attention to the fact that the war in Ukraine is hatched by United States and NATO, and we must oppose it as much as we can because this is genocidal to the people in that region of the world. It's a threat to that people, to those people in the world, and it's a threat to our existence here in the United States. The United States is the major threat to world peace in the world today. And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
But thank you for that, Henry. Just remember that the fascism there will soon be here. And we must begin to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, and materially. Not throw your gun away. It may save your life. And if not, it will deter others who would take it at no cost with a cost. We must begin to prepare for that because that is real. That is coming. And America has proved it because all you have to do is look and see what does NATO represent. They represent a Europe that leeches off of the rest of the world. The rest of the world didn't protect itself. They don't leech off China anymore. They don't leech off of
Korea.
Vietnam anymore. They don't leech off of North Korea anymore, etc. That's what they are about. That's what they've always been about. And if you think you're a part of that, I have sad news for you. But let it go with that, Sister Betty.
Okay, we want to keep this rolling. We see that Sister Nellie Bailey is in the house, and we want to open up her mic because we know she always has some thoughts on foreign policy. Once again, keep your eye on the war at home. I believe it was 800 million was the first amount they sent over there to Ukraine. Do you not know they're talking about for the Ukrainian youth who come here, they're going to be giving them college scholarships. Meanwhile, they are stealing from our historical black colleges. The states are taking the money from those colleges. Sister Nellie, your mic is open.
May I add, states' rights bears its ugly head again in this America. Sister Nellie, your microphone is open.
Well, thank you very much, Sister Betty and Ralph. I'm just so outdone, as we all know, that the U.S. Has just announced its sanctions against China. And we have to talk about what this – yes, they have. And we have to talk about what it means for us here. Russia has survived the sanctions against them. The ruble is, of course, a little shaky, but the ruble is backed by gold. Unlike the U.S. that went off the gold standard in 1971 under Nixon. So although the Russia economy will have some difficulty, it will have inflation, but we also have to look at what we will endure here. Double-digit inflation. Now,
yes.
Remember, Russia is the largest country in the world. It is food sufficient. It has, and it understands clearly now, as does the Chinese, with the threats that was made against China, and China came up with the U.S. being, quote, sinister, their motives. So the handwriting is on the wall. Russia will fulfill its gas contracts to the West as it is doing. Gas is flowing to Germany, which is beginning to have second thoughts. Even though the U.S. has blocked the opening of North Stream 1 and 2 going to Germany and Central Europe. By the way, the children of the world, Europe represents children are only 3% of the world, and Europe itself is only 10% of the population. That's number one. And when you look at the 70 countries that did not go along with their bullying, trying to make people bend to their will, as Glenn Ford was fond of saying in terms of the U.S. edict, you comply or you die. This is a new day. Russia and Putin, I understand clearly they understand you can't trust the West. China certainly sees that, and China has made it very clear that they are not going to cut loose from Russia. It's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the threats and the new sanctions announced against China will draw China and Russia even closer, as has been implied by the Chinese foreign minister. It's not going to happen. Russia has not, its economy is in trouble, but it has not fallen. As a matter of fact, Russia was able to meet its debt, its foreign debt in payments. It is honoring all of its contracts. And the 70 countries that I mentioned, those countries represent the majority of the world's population. And the lies and the propaganda in this country is unlike anything that I have ever seen in my life. And the number of Africans, black people in academia and in other places have hopped on the Putin, hate Putin bandwagon as much as Amy Goodman of Democracy Now. But I guess I shouldn't be saying that on this program. But we are in store for a boomerang in this country. First of all, they're weakening the dollar because these countries are going to be looking for an alternative currency that will challenge and replace the U.S. dollar as the global currency.
May I interrupt here, Nellie, to say that the yuan is now being traded as on oil. You can pay in Chinese yuan as opposed
That's my next point. And do you know who's on that bandwagon? India. A number of other countries, including of all countries, Kenya. because Russia has built, not Russia, but China, and Belt and Road Initiative has built a high-speed railway and train from Nairobi to Mombasa that used to take, like, you know, a large number of hours, and now it's only about 4 hours. And do you know the engineer for the train, that high-speed train from Nairobi to Mombasa, is a young Kenyan woman who trained in China, learned Chinese, as are the other young people that the Chinese are bringing in to become part of this Belt and Road Initiative. They aren't coming in with guns. They aren't coming in subjecting people. They are, and of course, I'm not trying to suggest that China, of course, is opening up these markets and expanding their outreach and their empire, if their economic empire that is challenging the U.S., which has the U.S. Its knees. But this new announcement of sanctions against China is just incredible. And just look at Europe. Will Europe starve and freeze for U.S. imperialism? Because the grain, wheat comes from Russia. The fertilizers come from Russia. What are they going to do when that is cut off? Clearly, Russia understands that its future lies in the East.
Can I interrupt you there for a minute, Nellie Bailey? And I hope you'll come back in a little bit. We believe America has gone a bridge too far, and that it was predicted years ago that China would win Africa without a bullet being fired. And so we're seeing it.
It already has. Good point. It already has.
Come to fruition. Hope you hang in there and come back and finish up your statement on terms of the world turns. And when
can I leave with this? Our listeners should understand what de-dollarization means and what it will mean for us as the dollar falls in value and its impact on us. Not, we have seen rise in gasoline costs, rise in food costs, homelessness is exploding, and yet they have sent $1 billion in weapons to Ukraine, not to mention the other monies that have gone. And the Hunter Biden scandal, it is going to be a blockbuster.
Yes.
And it's not only Hunter Biden, but it's also Nancy Pelosi's son. It is also Mitt Romney's son. They've got and they are running scared. Thank you.
Thank you, Nellie. Much appreciated. A bridge too far. Sister Betty.
Like we said, keep your eye on the war at home. The war abroad is just the continuation of the Crusades. The Crusades have never stopped. But what happens to our infrastructure at home? And who are the people on the bottom? Just continue your report on the death camps and COVID. And remember, we've got a lot of people, so mindful. Go ahead.
You speaking to me, Sister Betty?
Yes, the death camps. The death count from COVID within the prisons. Do you have that report yet?
I have the latest report on the Rikers Island. You know, we lost 16 people at Rikers Island last year, and we've already lost 3 this year, as people were demonstrating yesterday against these deaths at Rikers Island. Another inmate choked to death on an orange, and no correction officer came to help. the other prisoners were trying to help the man. They were not able to do so. He ended up dying because he choked to death on an orange when the COs were nowhere to be found. So there's a lot of stuff going on right here in New York State. So they had this rally yesterday morning in front of Governor Hochul's office. I think that's how she says her name. And they'll be having one on Thursday because, of course, the other thing that the governor is doing is going along with what the mayor wants to do, you know, and let's turn over all the reforms that we fought so hard to achieve, such as bail reform and so on. So they want to gut bail, discovery, and raise the age reforms. Not a good thing. So that's Thursday at 11 a.m., also at Governor Hochul's office, and should be good. And then tomorrow, there's a rally before the New York City Criminal Justice Budget Hearing, which is tomorrow at 9 a.m. And that is happening right on the City Hall steps. And then people will be going up to Albany on Monday, March 28th, and people can also contact their legislatures. So a lot of stuff going on locally around the whole issue of death camps, whether they're affecting political prisoners or social prisoners. Doesn't matter, in my opinion. Everybody's in the same boat, and the prisoners themselves have said that. I just wanted to end on a positive note because people might not have heard. The good news is that Eric King, who I was reporting on last week on Friday, was acquitted by a jury of the false charge of assaulting a correctional officer. So that he will not face an additional 20 years in prison. He was totally acquitted, and we are very happy to report that. And as he himself said, he was not doing it for himself. He was doing it for all the prisoners who have faced similar situations where the CO assaults you, and then you are charged with assaulting them, the same as we out here when the police officer assaults us, and then we are charged with assaulting them. So that is some good news of the day.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. Again, keep your eye on the war at home. There's another war against our public institutions, and Sister Audrey is back again to give us a report. Don't forget that the mayor here can't afford to put more guidance counselors in the schools, can't afford to hire more reading teachers for the schools, but he can put more cops in the schools and continue thieving of mayoral control, because that's all mayoral control means. They can steal and not be accountable. Sister Dennis, your mic is open. Please be mindful there are other people.
Good evening, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph, and all those who have spoken before me. I'm learning a lot. Thank you so much. As Sister Betty says, I'm here to share with you some things that the New York City Coalition that finally won to end mail control has been doing in the community. First, I want to say I'm a proud member of the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, with another organization called Students Improve Association. And now I'm with New York City Coalition to finally end mail control, and I'm proud to be with them. So on Saturday, this group called PIST, P-I-S-T-N-Y-C, Parents to Improve School Transportation. We joined up with them at the Cadman Plaza Park in Brooklyn. And these parents came to expose a number of things that are being done to students who needed transportation, who were lacking transportation, who some of these disabled students were without them for a while under Misha Porter and de Blasio. And one mother, she got her story told after waiting for over a year, waiting for bus to get her child transported to school. It was her story got told by the New York Daily News on the front page. And so she came to tell her story that in that time when she did not have any transportation, it was another parent who is disabled. Her child isn't disabled. She, too, was seeking help to get her child transported. And she had to take care of both this other lady's child and her child to try some other way to get to school. So if it hadn't been for the Daily News stepping in and blasting everything on the front page, the New York City and the mayor's office would not have stepped in to help this mother. We had some of these bus drivers, too, who were telling their stories about how they are in commute for many hours with these children, getting up so early in the morning to go to school on the bus for more than 10 hours sometimes. And they can't even go relieve themselves in the bathroom. Some of these buses didn't have matrons. And these were all under the mayor, his control. And so these are reasons and many more that we are saying we got to take the control back into our communities where we have parents, where we have volunteers, where we have former students who are speaking out at the outrage of mayoral control since Bloomberg to now. And this mayor, after seeing all that he's doing where he's dividing the city, where it's a tale of two cities, where the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, because he said it out of his lips that it's about the money for him. So you see, it's not about anything with science. We must not get that misunderstood. They don't care. If they did care, they would try to solve the other problems that we have with all the different health issues out there. You can't be paying people to take vaccines and then saying the other illnesses, you're not paying them, paying for that. So I'm just saying that some of these buses don't have matrons on them. And as of this day, where this mayor is trying to get mayor control, we have some buses without matrons. Children on buses.
Your organization is to demand that before mayoral control shuts down and tries to amp up again and be reinstated again, we want an audit. We want a total audit of the monies that have been spent under mayoral control to date. We must have that. You can see how many millions have been stolen from the children in the communities of New York City.
And understand that mayoral control represents corporate privatization.
Yeah.
That's where he wants to go. We must stop him. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope that you'll come back next week and give us more information. Sister Betty.
All right. We want to move on to Brother Dennis, who's calling from out of state, and we have other people on the call who are calling from out of state. Brother Dennis, thank you for your patience. Your mic is open.
Uhuru, we are under siege. I'm listening at school systems where money is being retracted from. I'm listening at oil being chased over in Africa, which is why Putin sent mercenaries into Mali to defend the oil fields in Ethiopia. Right now, if we don't cut off the hand that has the gangrene, and we do have the gangrene, we'll keep falling into the trap that we must continue to follow the colonial mode of production. And it's sad for me to have to keep saying this, but on all levels, we're being assailed, assaulted. The colonizer is definitely now going to get more and more heaved up by traitors, as we know them to be. We call them out as being spies in the organization, spies in the camp, spies to quiet the noise by all means and any means. Inflation's on the uptick. Our people now are desperate. We are out committing crimes on one another based on economics. We are now being put in positions where our babies in so much danger. We have to come together collectively to fight these imperialists, these capitalists. This session that's going on now is going to be a bloody year once again. As you mentioned earlier, that they're going to be sending in the Ukrainians to live in the United States when they whipped and beat the Haitians and sent them out the very next day at the border of Texas straight back to endangered areas in Haiti. These people do not love us. They do not care about us. They feign it. When they call you pal, that means the N-word. When they call you buddy, that means the N-word. And anyhow, I was in a meeting just last night where I saw so many people that are enemies from the other culture sitting in a meeting in Louisiana, downplaying and twisting and accusing our kids of playing the video games that gets us shot out here, when their kids are playing the same games and murders at a high rate in that community as well as it is in our community. Inflation, the tyranny that we have, we're living under autocracy as a people, and we've got to really wake up. We got to quit playing games, y'all. This is no longer time to sit back. There are no vacations. We are in a revolution, and the war is rising. Uhuru. Thank you.
Uhuru.
Thank you, Brother Dennison. You mentioned New Orleans. We're going to New Orleans right now. Sister Belinda Parker Brown is on, and she is fighting several wars on the front lines at the same time. Sister Belinda Parker Brown of Louisiana United International, your mic is open.
Well, good evening, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. Happy birthday to you, Brother Ralph. I'm so excited to be on the show. You're welcome, my brother. You're 88 years young. That's a blessing, I'm telling you. And it's you know, it's an honor to be on the show with you all tonight. Thank you so much. I was trying to rush off another meeting to make sure I get a chance to come on. I was hoping that we can have Brother Steve Harris to come on. You know, listening to my brother Dennis, you know, he get me all fired up when he start talking about the atrocities and, you know, the crisis that we're facing here in the United States of America. We're in a serious crisis when it comes to how bad, you know, we are being abused with the organized abuse in the legal system. And, you know, Emmett Till, I just got back from Jackson, Mississippi. You know, this happened in 1955. It's been over 60-some years, 67 years, that we're still waiting on justice for Emmett Till. You know, and I stood there with his family. You know, it was a sad sight to see, you know, a lot of his cousins and, you know, one of his aunts that was there, you know, that actually his mother, you know, raised her like a sister, and talked about how they had served, they had indicted Carolyn Bryant, and she never was served a subpoena, you know, that, you know, they still have not even served a subpoena on this woman that lied and caused Emmett Till his death. So, you know, I was hoping that Brother Steve Harris could come on and talk to you because, you know, he was the event organizer for that, you know, rally there in Jackson, Mississippi with Emmett Till family calling for justice. Those people are not giving up. It was sad to see them and the tears in their eyes saying that they've been waiting 67 years for justice for Emmett Till.
Well, what do they want us to do, Sister Belinda? What do they want for us to do?
Well, I thank you so much, Sister Betty, for answering that question. Right now, they're circulating an online petition, and it is really, I mean, TikTok, you know, is blowing up on a lot of the social media outlets now, which is very good. I want to share that link so that people can go and sign that petition, you know, calling for justice for Emmett Till, that this woman, Carolyn Bryant, would be indicted. You know, it's sad that, you know, they indicted, you know, Bill Cosby at the age that he was at. Now, this lady is up in age, and they want to wait till she die, and then, you know how they cover up stuff. But we're saying indict her now while she's alive. You know, we don't want to wait until she dies. You know, so the petition is helping us, you know, put the pressure on the government and, you know, in Mississippi that they would follow the law and indict this woman because there are, you know, some newfound evidence, some witnesses that have came forth that actually, you know, was alive during that time and that they worked there on the farm and they have some very credible information in regards to what happened to Emmett Till, you know, when he was kidnapped and when he was, you know, beat and lynched. you know, and all of that. So I'm hoping that
will you give us
come out.
Will you give us the website?
Yes, Sister Ann is still on. She always sends out announcements like this. Please give us the information. We'll act on it immediately.
Okay, all right. I will make sure you get it. I'm going to text it to you right now, Sister Betty.
Okay, and I will see that Sister Ann and everybody on this call gets that link, and we can get started on that. Sister Belinda, we're going to move on now.
I'm going to send you the link that they go and read the Anti-Lynching Act that was passed on behalf of Emmett Till by Congressman John Lewis.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Seven 7390, your mic is open. Did you want to say something? 7390, last four digits. First 3601. 601, last four digits, 7390, your mic is open. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I do. My name is Stephen Harris, and I'm the executive director of a Second Chance organization, and I'm one of the key organizers that was, that led the Emmett Till movement, and, you know, on the family seeking justice for, you know, for Emmett Till and, you know, just shedding light on that injustice and, you know, and countless other injustices all across America.
What is your organization trying to do, and what can the rest of us do to support you? Sister Belinda is on also, and I left her mic open. She was hoping we'd get on.
Awesome. Thank you, Sister Betty. Go ahead, Stephen. It is this young man, I'm going to tell you, he is a mover and a shaker, you know, and I hope that you guys, Stephen, could you just touch on a little bit why, you know, Emmett Till's death is so significant, you know, to your cause. Go ahead, Stephen. Just touch on that a little bit so that the people can hear and know that we're serious about getting justice for Emmett Till because, you know, go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Emmett Till was 14 years old time of him being murdered in Mississippi. You know, and I was not born in that particular era. However, fast forward on down the line, you know, in the year of 2003, when I was getting ready to take my first semester at Mississippi State University, that's when I got pulled over by some white police officers, and they were looking for a black male suspect. And I tried to plead my way out of the situation. They didn't want to hear what I had to say, and we began to exchange words. And when they showed me a description of a suspect, it didn't look nothing like me, you know, but like they said, I fit the description, but it was a black guy, but it wasn't me. So they wanted to arrest me because I was mouthing off. I was mouthing off at them. And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, and when they tried to arrest me, I resisted. And one of the officers struck me, and I struck him back. And, and we had an altercation. And that's when I just, you know, got in my car and I left or whatever, and it turned into a hot pursuit. So, you know, they surrounded me and I surrendered and they got me in their custody. You know, I was only 17 years old, which is a three-year difference from Emmett. So when they got me in their custody, they sprayed me with tear gas and they hog-tied me and you know, they put on gloves and they said, you want to be a bad mouth nigga, we gonna show you. And they broke my nose, cracked my ribs, and, you know, stomped my head to the concrete, you know, until I just lost consciousness. And just experiencing that at the age of 17, it resonated with my spirit because I could have been Emmett Till, you know. And just because my family got involved at the last minute, you know, and they was protesting, that's how I, you know, was able to get, you know, emergency medical attention, which saved my life, you know, and I'm grateful. And so I pay homage, you know, and tribute, you know, towards the people that died, such as Emmett Till, you know, because I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to have those, you know, those blows inflicted on, you know, on the body. I know what it feels like because I thought I was about to die, you know, but I lived. And so, you know, even in that, you know, that situation, you know, they fabricated and falsified and told a whole lot of lies. So I was combative. I was intoxicated, which was all false. And they took my life away from me. They took my life away from me, and they sent me straight to prison on a mistaken identity. And I was devastated. I really didn't know what to do at that particular time but pray, you know, and you know, it was just so crazy. But I was banking on the promises of my father that he was going to get me out, you know, civil rights, you know, ex-military, served in, fought for the country, came home, and then still had to fight. So I was banking on the promises of my father to get me home. But unfortunately, someone went to his house, knocked on the door, and when he opened the door, they blew him away. They assassinated my father. And simultaneously, at the same time, that's when my twin brother had just arrived home, and he witnessed the assassination. And he got some guns, and he went after these racist people. And he was shooting at them, but he couldn't catch them. And somebody called the police and said, there's a black male out here shooting. There's a black male out here shooting. And a whole army of cops showed up out of nowhere. And next thing you know, my twin brother engaged in a full-fledged gunfight. And four cops got shot. And helicopters were everywhere. And he jumped in a vehicle and pulled a high-speed chase. And, you know, he got hit one time. He crashed the car, and you know, he collapsed. And they took him to the hospital, and you know, it was just pandemonium. It was just chaos everywhere. He survived the gunfight. By the grace of God, he survived the gunfight. So shortly after that, they threw him in jail, and they tried to frame him like he was the one that killed our father. You know, so the racism is deeply rooted. And
what's the name of your organization that you're using now to spearhead this struggle?
My organization is called Second Chance because, you know, I was given a second chance. I survived, you know, my ordeal, and after surviving my ordeal, I got out, and you know, I got a scholarship in college. I started pursuing law. You know, I started exercising my rights, and then, you know, as the weight was being shifted against me, I went against the entire state of Mississippi because I had to fight them because they held my twin brother in a jail cell for 11 years without a trial, and I was the one that freed him, and all charges were dropped.
Sister Betty, thank y'all so much for giving him the opportunity to have his voice heard because, you know, it's a whole lot that he's leaving out. But what the point is that what we're saying is that we're waiting 67 years for justice for Emmett Till because the same racist, wicked, evil stuff is still going on in Mississippi. And we need the whole world to stand with us for justice for Emmett Till and solidarity for this family to get justice. So thank y'all so much for letting us have this opportunity.
And thank you so much for that. And I always say step one, free our political prisoners, those who understood these issues years ago and fought back. And that's why this government is keeping them in jail 40, 45, 50 years, because they understood and fought back for all of us. And we, the people, are dropping the ball when we do not support our political prisoners and when we cannot even vote. We cannot cast a vote. We cannot use the political prisoners as a reason to not vote, to deny the vote to anyone who would say they represent us and not support our political prisoners. This is what this program is about. Sister Betty.
I want to thank Sister Belinda Parker Brown and Brother Harris for getting on tonight. And this venue is always open to you. And we're looking forward to Sister Belinda Parker Brown for our WBAI program next week. We want to remind you that tomorrow night on WBAI, 99.5 FM. We will be discussing the Black Ankh, Dr. Aisha Fields, and her trip to Cuba and the Cuban medicine program. Mm-hmm. And we have our own Black Cross. You've heard of the Black Cross. Well, there is a Black Cross. They are saving lives. And if you want to know more about what they do for our community, tune in tomorrow at 8 Eastern Time, WBAI. You can go to WBAI.org or 212-209-2877. You can call in and listen. We hope you will support Dr. Aisha Fields and her organization, the Black Ankh.
212-209-2877. Call in tomorrow night on 99.5 FM on your New York dial. We want to expand that program and listenership because we are in the New York area. 15 million people possible. Let's expand this program. 99.5 on your FM dial or, Sister Betty, 212-209-2877
to call in, 212-209-2950 to donate. Brother Steve, do you want to give us your website? We know Sister Belinda's website, but we need to know your website so people can follow up more and perhaps make a donation or whatever their spirit moves them to do.
Yes, my website is secondchancemississippinow.com or I just simply tell people Google Stephen Harris Civil Rights New Generation or Civil Rights Second Chance. I will pop up. My story had made national media, and I'm working on the release of a book. Which is followed by a movie.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Sister Betty.
Okay, the last four digits, 1111, your mic is open if you want to make a few words before we call it quits for this evening.
I just wanted to get on the tails of an earlier speaker who mentioned about these so-called sanctions. Have we forgotten that we tried to use sanctions on Cuba, a tiny nation, for 53 years, and Castro still survived? So what makes us think that these sanctions are going to make even a dent, on Russia, the largest country in the world, as was reminded by an earlier speaker? And also, I think another speaker, perhaps I apologize if it was the same speaker, also pointed out, we got to be aware as to what's happening. They say sanctions, but, is that really a distraction as to what some other agenda is? So that's all I'm saying. Just be aware and just be reminded. The sanctions did not work. They did squat, for Castro. So how the heck is it ever going to have any impact on the world's largest nation, which is as strong, as our nation? I'll pretty much just leave it at that, and I'll continue on another topic tomorrow, on education, and the scams that continue to pummel America, especially our inner city deprived youth. Thank you so much. And have a good night.
Thank you for that, and look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Be sure to stay in, and what we have to understand is what we've been hearing tonight. It is an attempt to understand America being stripped bare of what the myth of America always has been, but we're beginning to see through it. If we look at the facts, if we look at all of the issues that were discussed, we will see America stripped bare. We see the stealing from the public schools in the inner city, the stealing from the traditional Black colleges, the stealing of the public space for privatization. It's thievery, and it's because of the cancer of capitalism is a disease. It is a sickness that can only be, it can't be patched, it has to be eradicated. And we can eradicate it by understanding the nature of the disease and understanding the solution. And on this program and every program we're on, we will be bringing you voices, and we plan voices a month in advance. And we have some wonderful issues about our liberation, how do we get it, and how do we keep it. Sister Betty.
And we want to remind you that the vote on mayoral control is coming up soon.
That's in New York City.
In New York City. We must stop it. You must stop it. That is why Sister Dennis is so precious to us, because she stays on top of it, and she's organizing against it. So to everyone, we want to say thank you, and please try dialing us in on Wednesdays, and just give a shout-out. Take care.
Love you all. Good night. See thee on this program next week. See thee tomorrow on 99.5 FM.